Chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22. There we're going to read verses 1 through 14, responsively of Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read, then you read, and so forth as we do so. Genesis chapter 22, and we will read verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took unto his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, he behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, at the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time now. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to give me clarity. Fall upon me, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd fall upon the hearts of these dear people, God. I pray, Lord, that we will not leave this place the same way we came. I pray that we'll leave closer to you than when we came. Now, God, I pray, God, you do a work now. We ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message would be found in verse number 8. I'm sorry, I'm going to read a few verses here. Verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, this is my text now, God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The title, of course, is God will provide. If you feel like your back is up against a wall and you feel like there's no way out, have the pressures of life come upon you so heavily that you feel that you're about to fall under that pressure? I'm probably speaking to some here today. Things are going pretty well. Your bills are paid. Things are going good as far as you're concerned. Things are looking good. Your health is good. But I'm also looking at some folks today. You've had a hard week. I know some of the calls. I know some of the prayer requests that you've brought to me. And maybe there's been some unexpected turns in your life. The unexpected turns, if you will, came into your life just recently. You know, maybe it was a call from a loved one saying, Mom or Daddy's real sick. Maybe some other dear one that you know of is real sick. Maybe you felt that every day you went to work and your job was secure and to only find out they're downsizing and they're cutting you out. Maybe some of you expected some unexpected bill, if you will, of some sort came in the mail, and you find out it was a legitimate bill, a legit debt, and it must be paid. Maybe you find out your child or your spouse falls ill and it doesn't look good. Has that unexpected hit you suddenly? And you're here today and you wonder, what do I do to get out of it? It's hit you right between the eyes. Perhaps you wonder, will I? Or how is God going to go ahead and get me out of this one? Have you been there? Or are you there? If you're not there, may I just remind you, your time will come. I wish I could say that the Christian life is always going to be a mountaintop experience. It always isn't, though it is a wonderful experience. I wouldn't trade places with anybody else. The world has nothing on me as far as I'm concerned. I have Jesus, and if I died now, I'm on my way to heaven. I thank God, and I thank God, and I thank God for that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, maybe you're there, that unexpected turn, or you're not there yet, but it will come. You sit here today and you wonder, am I going to make it through this week? Am I going to have enough strength to make it through this week? Am I going to have enough money, if you will, to get me through this week or this month? All was well until, you know, maybe things were going good, a smooth path. You know, you had that nice time, if you will, of mountaintop, if you will. Everything was going really, really well. Then all of a sudden, things start spiraling downward, and you don't know what to do. And let me just stop and say this. You know what? There's not anything that happens to you that God does not already know about. And I thank God, He already knows about it. And we don't always understand why it comes our way. We don't always understand. But let me tell you something. Whatever you're going through this morning, it's already crossed God's desk. God already knows about it. And let me tell you something. This is where we need to increase our faith. And I know sometimes we get tired. And I know sometimes we get weary of the heavy load. And I know sometimes we get tired of the pressure. But the truth of the matter is, I want you to understand, first of all, we need to increase our faith. And we need to go ahead and have the faith, as we talk about this morning, of Abraham. And let me just say this morning, God will provide. You have a little bit more month than money. God will provide. Your health is poor. God will provide the strength that you need. Whatever it is, God will provide, and He will provide a way out. He will provide a way of escape. The Bible, I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I thank God we have a faithful God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God says He will not give you more than you can handle. He will not give you more than your strength can handle. And looking at our text this morning, of course, man, there's so many different directions. As I was studying this morning, you know, this is saturated with the gospel, with the plan of salvation, this text. It's just saturated with it. But I got a few points I want to point out this morning. Of course, we know the story. God came to Abraham and did tempt Abraham. He tested him. And God told Abraham, take his only son Isaac. Of course, Isaac being a picture of Christ, if you will. Abraham, take your son and get to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering. Of course, we read that in verse number 2. Now, talk about testing. Think about this. Think about this request. Now, Abraham, I want you to take your only son Isaac. Now, Isaac was a miracle, a son of their old age, if you will, okay? You remember how Sarah laughed and said, you know what, God, you're not, I'm not going to have a baby. I'm 90 years, you know, you remember that. But here was Isaac, a miracle. And no doubt, you know, at this particular time, here was God testing Abraham. And Abraham got to thinking, you know, what in the world is going on? God, you know, and Abraham could have had a little fight here. Abraham, if he wanted to, could have had a little disagreement. Of course he didn't. You know, come on, God. I left the earth of Chaldees. I left the land alone. I left my relatives. You know, the problems with that. He had a lot of things he could have said. Come on, God. Look at some of the things that's happened in my life. Now, you want me to go ahead and give up my son? You know, he could have gone ahead and given a fight. But I love this. We're going to see his faith this morning. Talk about the testing. I don't believe for a second that Abraham expected this. Just like some of the things that you had going through this morning, you didn't expect it. You know what? You had that run of goodness. You had that run of comfortability, if you will. Things were going pretty well. And you just didn't expect it. All of a sudden, boom. That doctor's report or that bill or whatever the case may be, the health problem, whatever it is, you go to work thinking things are wonderful, and then you get that pink slip in the mail. You go, what in the world is going on? Yeah, I didn't expect this. I just did not expect this. And I don't think Abraham expected this either. I don't think he thought for a minute that God would ask such a task of him. And I can imagine, just imagine, Dad, just imagine, Mom, how Abraham must have felt. And what God was doing here was testing Abraham. We see some great attributes. Of course, we see his sincerity. Are you really serious about me, Abraham? You know, it might be that the testing that you're going through, God might be trying to see if you're really sincere. Are you really with me? Are you really on board with me? Are you really serious about me, Abraham? Are you really serious about me, church member? Is your love sincere toward me? And then, of course, I believe we also see loyalty. This is not my message this morning. I almost went this way, but we see the loyalty of Abraham. Is the God of heaven really the God that Abraham serves? Will he stick it out, or will Abraham bail out on God? You know, so oftentimes, just about the time that we are going to see blessing in our life, we quit. Well, whatever reason, things happen, and we get tired of the load, we get tired of this, we feel like that we had a bad hand dealt, and whatever, and just about the time you feel like, hey, and you've come to my office, and I pray with you, and I'd counsel with you, and I'd help you in different things, and you feel like, boy, I had some encouragement, and that would get you going a little bit, but just about the time that you feel like it's just too much, I can't handle it anymore, preacher, I can't keep up with this anymore, and just about the time that God was going to go ahead and see you through that battle, we quit on him. We bail out. And Abraham, you know, I got thinking about this, and we're going to point this out in just a moment. You know, between the time that God asked him to go ahead and take his son and the time that he actually rose up early in the morning, the Bible says, you know, he had a little bit of a thought process there. He had some time to think, God, or, you know, what do I do? You know, he had perhaps that whole evening, whatever. I don't know what time frame God asked him, but he had several hours there to think, am I really going to go through with this? Am I really going to stick this out? Am I really going to obey God? Am I going to remain sincere to God? Boy, I followed God all this way, but I don't know about this one. My only son, God, what are you doing to me? But you see his sincerity. You see his loyalty. Is the God of heaven really the God whom he serves? Will he stick it out, or will he bail out on God? You see his faith. Does he really believe in me? You know, it might be that some of the things that you're going through, God saying, hey, do you really trust me? Do you really believe that I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you really believe that I'm the God of miracles? And we see it all through the Bible. Let me tell you something. If you're going through it today, you know what? One of the greatest means of encouragement is get in God's love letter to you. Get in it. Absorb it. Get in it, and he'll go ahead and encourage you. You go ahead and you read the miracles, and you read all that God did. Let me tell you something. The same God that raised Jairus' daughter, the same God that healed the blind, the same God that healed the sick, hey, he's the one that could go ahead and help you through your problem this morning. But you see his faith. Hey, Abraham, do you really believe in me? Do you trust me? When testing comes, we see these attributes, we begin to wonder, God, are you really there? Will you be, and when you're going through your testing, will you be loyal? Will you be faithful? Will you remain sincere about God? Will you remain with him? Will you stand by him? And I believe there was a little bit of time here that Abraham thought, what do I do? You know, he was a human just like you and I now. I can imagine that must have been a long night before he rose up the next morning. I can imagine maybe he didn't get much sleep that night wondering, man, what do I do? God, you want me to give up my son? God, I don't understand this. I don't really understand this, God. I don't understand why I had this illness, God. I don't understand why I lost my mama or my daddy. I don't know why this happened to me, God. I don't understand. I don't understand. And I can imagine God, or Abraham, he felt that pressure. And just as God was testing Abraham here, it may be that he's trying to use your trial that you're going through to test your loyalty and devotion, or are you going to bail out on him? Let me tell you, we have way too many Christian soldiers bailing out on God. You know, the Bible didn't say it always be on a mountaintop. It didn't say that. And thank God we have the mountaintops. And thank God for the victories. And thank God for all that he's done for us. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you may be in the lowest valley today. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You have that friend that's right near you. That's Jesus Christ. You have that friend that's right near you that wants to provide for you. You know, and you have that friend that's right near you that wants to go ahead and wrap his loving arms around you. But are you pushing him away? You know, so often, you know, we just get tired of it. Say, God, no. He said, come on, let me, I want to wrap my, no, God. God, I don't know what to do. Why is this happening? I don't understand this, God. But come on, I want to. Truth be told, don't push him away. I see far too many people that boy, they know the way of salvation.
They know for sure, they know that they should be saved. In their city, they may sit in church, and they may have heard it 100 times from a relative, and they say, no, God, no, God, no, God. And all along, God is convicting you, trying to wrap his eyes. Hey, I want to save you. I want you to come to heaven and be with me. But you keep on saying, no, God, I'm not ready right now, God. No, no, no. Why don't you, hey, if you're going to save this one, why don't you decide, yes, Jesus. Yes, I'm going to accept you. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to have you come into my heart and save me. But your trial that you're going through, it may be that God wants to test you a little bit. He may want to test your loyalty. He may want to see if you'll stay with him and hang in there. And by the way, he's not going to give you, as we read that promise, 1 Corinthians 7, he's not going to give you more than you can handle. He won't. He promises that. Will you really stick with him? I believe Abraham saw this task coming. What a weight it must have been on him when he was asked to offer up Isaac. Will he really go through with it? Is his faith in God going to remain strong? Will your faith in God remain strong? Well, Abraham, surely, you know, you're not going to follow God on this one. Is he really? Will you follow God on this trial that you're going through? Verse 3, we see his faith going forth. I like this verse. It shows his faith. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. We see his faith going forth. He rises up early. If it was me, and I kind of think maybe there was a moment of decision for him. But I like the fact that, you know what, come whatever time in the morning, he rose up. So I think in tears, I just said, God, I don't know what you're doing. You led me from the Ur of the Chaldees. You promised me a land. I don't know what you're doing, but if you want this, God, I'll go ahead. Okay. And look at his faith. He rose up. And he went on the journey. He was following through with what God had asked him to do. He did not turn back. He's following the call of God. Being asked, of course, I think obvious before the day he left, he had that moment of decision. And no doubt as he gathered his young men and saddled the ass and got his stuff together and the wood and the knife and all that he had to take with him and his son. And I can just go ahead and picture him as he goes on the journey. And the Bible says, I can just see, testing 1, 2, can I get this microphone? And I can see, you know, the feelings and the fear that he must have been going through, the bewilderment as he gathered everything. And I think my mind personally would have been in a cloud and whatever, but I could see him just very methodically getting everything together and calling the two young men saying, you're going to go with me. We're going to go on a journey. And maybe the two young men scratching their head. What are we doing there, Abraham? We just got to go. We're going to go. Isaac, you're going to go with me on a journey, and we're going to have a time of worship together. I don't know how he went ahead and worded it to Isaac, but we're going to have a time together, just you and me, father and son. And I can imagine on that journey, you know, him praying and saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what you're doing. And I think if it was me, if I may, you know, as I'd be traveling down that journey, that road, I'd be wiping tears, and maybe the young Isaac, Dad, what's the matter? Oh, no, nothing. It's okay, son. We're going to have a good time together on this little journey. And I can imagine some of the fear and the bewilderment and the wondering, God, what are you doing? I've been through quite a bit, God, but I'm going to trust you again here. Am I really going to sacrifice my son? Maybe that kept on going through, and the tears, he kept maybe wiping off his tears. I know I would have, as I mentioned, and I can't help the love that he had for his son. He was just kind of wiping the tears and just going on this journey. He probably had many, many emotions going through him. The Bible says that on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off that he was going to take his boy Isaac. And he told the young men traveling with him to stay here, and Isaac and himself and Abraham, we're going to go yonder to worship, and we're going to come back to you again. And the Bible also says Abraham took the wood and put that wood on Isaac, and Abraham took the fire and a knife, and they went together. And at this point, a young man, Isaac. You know, I am sure because of the holy man and because of the godly man that Isaac was, that Abraham was, Isaac probably saw Dad do this many times. He probably saw Isaac prepare an altar many times. He probably saw Isaac prepare the wood and go out and get a ram and or a lamb and so forth and prepare a burnt offering before God many times. And let me just stop and say this. You know, it'd be a good thing for our families, for our young children, our homes, to see us preparing an altar before God many, many times. It'd be good for that. We need to get back to getting the Word of God back in the home again. We need to get back to getting God at center point again. I say that a lot, but the truth of the matter is, even we as Christians, we hear it, but do we really do it? We need to get back to getting God center point again in our homes. And no doubt, I have a feeling Isaac, Abraham being the godly man that he was, Isaac saw him do this many times, and I can see him scratching his head as he gave Isaac the wood, and Abraham took the knife, said, okay, gentlemen, young men, you're going to stay here. We're going to go yonder. We're going to worship. We'll be back. And Isaac along the way says, now, Dad, you know, we have the wood. You've got your knife. You've got all the means for the altar, except where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. You see, Isaac, God will provide. God's going to take care of it. And I'm sure that in his heart of hearts, Abraham said, I don't know how. I don't know what you're going to do, God, but I'm following you by faith. No matter how much pain and no matter how much agony, God, I'm going to go ahead and follow you. But Isaac, my son, God will provide. And we see the story continue to unfold, and Abraham showed his complete obedience, and they came to the place, the Bible says. And Abraham prepared that altar. Isaac still probably scratching his head and saying, okay, you know, maybe he said, wow, God's going to do something here. And I don't know, young boy looking, you know, that lamb's going to come somewhere. Abraham's over there, and I could see him wiping his cheeks from the tears. Maybe wiping his nose like I did. Preparing the altar. Putting the wood up there. Isaac maybe over here. Scratching his head. And Abraham, probably, I think if it was me, I'd probably be bawling at this time. Isaac, come here. Okay. We see no fight. Isaac, you see no fight here. Dad, what are you doing? No! You know, I'd say willingly, you know, as Abraham took the rope and bound up his son, laid Isaac there on the altar. The faith, the complete obedience. Of course, we see the story as the story unfolds. You know, Abraham gets ready, takes the knife. Abraham! Abraham! And I can just imagine at this time, of course, it's the angel of the Lord calling, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, upon the lad, neither do anything to him, the Bible says. And he said, lay not thine hand, I'll read it, neither do thou anything, verse 12, unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, I can imagine as he had that knife up there and Isaac's there, you know, whatever, just laying there, and he had, Abraham, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Probably at that time, phew, I can see that. Yes. And he says, boy, could God say this about you, though? Through your trial, through your testing, through whatever it is you're going through now, or whatever it is you may go through down the road, could he say to you, what a testimony, for I know now. For now I know that thou fearest God. Well, I know that you reverence me, Abraham. I know that you honored me, Abraham. You're not willing to give up your son. I mean, you're not willing to withhold anything from me, Abraham. And I see that you really love me. I see that you're loyal to me. I see that your sincerity. I know that you fear God. Abraham's faith was such that God said, that man trusts me. That man loves me. I see his faith, and I'm going to go ahead and provide for him. And God wants to see our faith in action. You might be going through it. You might be going through some tough times, and it might be our lack of faith that says, you know what, I'm going to try it my way. I'm not going to do it this way anymore. God, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. It might be God just waiting for your faith to increase and increase and see your faith. And at that time, God sees your faith, and that moves him to action. By the way, what was it that got us saved? Faith. We moved to action, realizing we were on our way to hell and that we couldn't do anything about it. And we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And at that time, Jesus went ahead and moved. He provided. He provided a home in heaven. Hey, what I'm trying to say this morning, God will provide. Whatever you're going through, he may just want to see your faith in action. It might be that he's just waiting for you to step up a little bit and say, God can't do this. You know, God can do it. God can get you through it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And being confident in this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God wants you to have the confidence in him and say, you know what? You can get me through this illness. You can get me through this battle. You can get me through this disappointment. You will go ahead and provide for my need. But he might be just waiting for you, young Christian or even mature Christian, to step up and strengthen your faith. And at that time you strengthen your faith, he says, you know, I see his faith, and I'm going to go ahead and move to action. Therefore, I will provide. Hey, Isaac, God will provide for this offering. I don't know how, but God's going to go ahead and provide. Hey, family, you may be going through it. You've seen some heartaches. You know what? God will provide. God wants to see you go ahead and grow or increase your faith and see how far you go for him. You know what? By the way, he went all the way for you. Why don't we just go along with him? You know, he went all the way. You know, God the Father went all the way for you by sending his only son, Jesus. Why don't we, once you get saved, just decide, I'm going to stay on board the gospel ship. I'm not going to go ahead and turn back, and I'm going to increase my faith, and I'm going to go ahead and keep on keeping on for Jesus. But we have too many Christians. I'm not doing Christians, right? Too many Christians that bail out on God, say, this is not worth it. And when we say it's not worth it to God, let me ask you a question. The trail that you choose to take and where it leads you, will the end result be worth it? You want to try your way instead of God's way. Let me tell you something. God's way, just in advance, I'll say, it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better. But you want to spit, nope, God, you know, nope. I don't know if you provide anymore. This, I just had just too much, so I'm going to try it my way. Let me ask you something. Do you want the end result of your way? The prodigal son did that. I'm going to bail out here. No. God, Father, give me the inheritance. I want my money. I'm going to go. Riotous living. Where do you wind up? Pig pen. Try it your way. Bail out. I mean, if you really, really, really want to bail out upon the blessings of Almighty God, and if you will get outside the umbrella, if you will, of his protection, you know what? God says, okay, all right, that's what you want to do. You want to push me away? Fine. But you know what? I cannot go ahead and you can choose your choices. You can make your own decisions, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you've decided, of your choice. You can't. You say, okay, God, I've done that. I've done the Christian thing. Yeah, you're saved. And don't misunderstand me. You can't bail out as far as your salvation ever, ever, ever. You're saved. You're once saved. Nobody can ever change that, okay? Praise the Lord. But you want to bail out, and there's a lot of Christians that do. You know what? You want to bail out. You know what? You chose that, by the way. God didn't say, you know what? Get. He didn't do that. You chose it. I don't know if God can provide, so I'm going to try it my way. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to try the world for a little while. You choose it, but you can't choose the consequences when you wind up in the pig pen down here, if you will, because you decided it. But when we get down here, we do one of two things. God, this isn't fair. Who decided to put you here? Did God decide to put you here? Or just what the prodigal son did? Daddy, can I come home? And I thank God get a picture of the love of a father. You know, when you go through the pig pen, you know, he accepts you back. You know, where are you this morning? You said, God can't provide. Yes, he can, by the way. You stay under that umbrella and you just keep on allowing God to bless you and encourage you right where you are. Allow the counsel of God's man and allow this book to counsel you, and you get on your knees and you walk with God. And yes, you may have the valley. You may be in the valley. You may be halfway down. You may be on the mountaintop, but you just stay under the umbrella of God and his authority and allow him to lead you and guide you. Let me tell you something. You're a whole lot safer than you will when you say, I'm going to step out and I'm going to try it my way. Whole lot safer. Hey, you know what? It might be that he's testing your faith this morning. Might be you're ready to bail out, but I plead with you. You just strengthen your faith, increase your faith, and just decide, I'm going to go ahead. If I increase him, you know what God says? You know what? God teaches you, increase your faith. It might be, you know, God was just looking for Abraham's faith. God, I want to see, Abraham, I want to see what you got. You going to stick with me? Or are you going to bail out on me? And as Abraham said, you know what, I'm just going to keep on going. Yeah, I'm in the battle of my life. I'm going to wipe off the tears. I'm going to keep on going. Oh, my body hurts and I'm not feeling too good. And I'm going to wipe off the tears because I lost my loved one. This happened or you know, I lost my job, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. And you know what? Just about the time is, I got to start all over because I ran out of my path, okay? But, you know, you keep on going, you wipe off your tears, and you just keep on going, you keep on going, and yes, you feel sick, and your heart aches, and you're disappointed because maybe a son or a daughter disappointed you, or whatever the case may be, or whatever the case, and all kinds of different things all around you, but you say, God, I'm going to keep on going. You promise you provide. I'm just going to keep on serving you. I'm going to stay on my bus route. I'm going to stay in my Sunday school class. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to keep reading your word. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Let me tell you something. That's a whole lot safer than you say, you know what, God, no. I don't want it. And you know what? The time that you keep on going through all the heartache here, all the while God sees your faith getting stronger and getting stronger. And just about that time when you feel like, God, what are you doing to me? You know, he steps up and he provides. He provides whatever, he provides the lamb, if you will, as it is in our story. He provides whatever it is that you need. He will provide, but you got to keep on keeping on. You can't quit on him. Abraham kept on going. You see the provision, a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket, and the offering, of course, was complete. Hey, God will provide. I have to believe that Abraham must have wondered a little bit what's going on here. But by faith, he kept going. I have to believe that this was an unexpected task, if you will, for Abraham. But his love and devotion and loyalty and faith in God said, here am I will keep on keeping on. I will trust you, God. I'm going to believe in you no matter what, every step of the way. I'm going to go ahead and believe that you're not going to give me more than I can go ahead and bear and handle. God will provide a way out. Number one, God will go ahead and provide a way out of your situation, whatever it is. That battle, God's going to provide. That disappointment, God's going to provide. That illness, God will provide. Maybe he won't heal you completely. Maybe he won't go ahead and just put spoofle dust and say, you are healed or whatever. He may not. But the truth of the matter is he'll provide you the strength that you need to endure it. I'm reminded of a teacher that I admired so very much, and many, many ladies and men alike did as well. Mrs. Marlene Evans, the wife of the president of Hiles Anderson College, Dr. Wendell Evans. Mrs. Evans taught at the college many years. She taught a couple classes that I had. Thank God I was able to still be there when she had enough strength to teach. She was editor, and she started the Christian Womanhood magazine, and of course, they have the Christian Womanhood Spectacular every year. She started it, host a big conference, if you will, for ladies to come, and it was just a blessing for the ladies. She wore many hats in the ministry of First Baptist Church in Hiles Anderson. The last, you know, and I'm sorry if the numbers are wrong, but it had to have been probably at least 20 years or more. She battled the biggest illness of her life. She battled ovarian cancer.
She battled it, she beat it, she battled it, she beat it, but cancer just kept on returning to her. And many times her death certificate was already written, many, many times. She'd be so weak that the doctor said, you know what, there's nothing more. But her faith said, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. She would teach on. I remember oftentimes I'd be in class, or we'd all be in class. Sometimes she'd come in a little bit late. And it's amazing, you know what? And if you heard some of the nights before that class, she'd be going through pain and agony. But when she walked in that class, she'd just come in bubbling and smile. She had a contagious smile. Just come in bubbly and contagious, and that smile is contagious, and just doing the almost abnormal. Just come in and whoo, you know, just really, really a sporadic lady, just excited for the Lord. Well, she was just teaching on. She was just going on with her spirit. She would continue to travel, even with her illness, to ladies' meetings all over the country and different things like that. I heard her respond several times, and I know she wrote some books on cancer. She called cancer her enemy, her friend. You know, to me, she was saying, you know, I'm going to have the faith to keep on keeping on here. She didn't allow cancer to go ahead and defeat her. She wasn't going to go ahead, and she was going to allow it to be used of God, if you will. And yes, it is an enemy, and yes, it does hurt, and yes, it does cause a lot of pain and different things, but she allowed it for the glory of God. She allowed to use it for God. She would respond that she was going to live until she died. You know, her death certificate, like I said a moment ago, was written many times. She says, you know, I'm going to just live until I die. In other words, she was not going to let her illness, her cancer, get the best of her and take her down. She'd keep serving Christ with cancer. She'd keep counseling ladies with cancer. She'd keep her contagious laugh even when it hurt a whole lot. What I'm saying, God will provide a way to endure whatever illness you're going through, whatever heartache. He'll give you the grace and the courage, as he did to Marlene Evans. That trial, he will give you grace. That heartache, he will give you strength. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Your disappointment, hey, you know, he'll provide a way. He'll provide a way to supply your needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. He says he'll supply your need, not your wants. Too oftentimes we get to a point where I want this, I want this, I want this. God, why don't I have this? Why can't I have this? I want this. You know what? God says, I'll provide your needs. I didn't necessarily say I'll provide a new car or a new house or all this. You know what? You have a roof over your head. You have clothes on your back. You have a little bit of money in your wallet, if you will, to buy groceries. You have food to eat, whatever the case may be. You know, I will provide your needs. Needs are necessary for you to live. We are to be content, if you will, content being happy with what God has provided and given you. 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Be happy with the food that you have. Be happy with the clothes that you have. Be happy with the job that you have. Be happy with a roof over your head. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we want God to give us our wants. God, I'm not going to be happy in the Christian life until you give me what I want. Hey, you know what? By the way, God gave you what you wanted. He gave you eternal life. He gave you, you know what? When you realized you're a sinner and on your way to hell, you wanted eternal life. He gave you everything you wanted by that one gift of eternal life. But once we get a little bit comfortable in our Christianity, now, God, you know what? I want what they have. I want that new car. Why can't I have that? It's not fair. And when we feel like that God's not blessing our wants, we say, you know, God, I don't feel like you're blessing me. Hey, you know, he's blessed you a whole lot, my friend. Look at the clothes on your back. He's provided. Most all of you probably ate breakfast this morning, and you're going to eat lunch later on. He provided. You know, you drove to church in some sort of vehicle today. Maybe it wasn't a brand new vehicle, whatever the case may be, but he provided. What I'm trying to say, we need to be content with what he supplied. Christmas 1995, and I'm going to have to hurry. I was at Hiles Aronson College along with my family. We had three children at the time, living in Indiana, going to Bible college. I was coming home from church one evening. It was the week before Christmas. I remember right where I was. I was right on 41, coming, approaching 30 and 41, this is irrelevant to you, but I remember right where I was. It was an evening after evening service, heading back to St. John, Indiana, where I lived, rented a house there. I remember looking back in the rearview mirror and all my kids. I had probably three, maybe four, two, and Cody was 4 or 5 months old. I remember looking back in the mirror and saying to my wife, you know, I don't know what we're going to do for Christmas this year. Honestly, I mean, you looked at our checkbook, zero. I mean, we had goose eggs everywhere. I mean, just, I don't really know. Look back in the rear view, and of course, the kids weren't old enough. You know, Courtney, she being the oldest, I think she might have understood a little bit. But they were back there smiling and happy, and, you know, there's nothing more than a parent wants to do than to have gifts for the kids. You know, if anything. Truth of the matter, I can care less about getting gifts for me, really. But it's a whole lot of fun at Christmas Day, just watching the kids open up their gifts. And you know, that's a lot of fun. And I remember saying, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't really see that financially we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do for Christmas, bottom line. Financially, it was a tight time, rent, family expenses, schooling, all that goes along with it. One of the greatest, of course, parts of Christmas is watching the kids. And, of course, it just tore my heart knowing that, you know, within a few more days, it was going to be Christmas time, and I had nothing, no tree. I didn't think we'd have a Christmas. The next Wednesday night, now, my wife and I had already talked, we're not to tell anybody, obviously. You know, probably what gave it away was the fact that the Weeks house is not decorated, you know, whatever. Maybe that's what gave it, but we'd never said anything. And I remember going to church Wednesday evening, and Brother Keith McKinney, or Mrs. McKinney, I think it was, his wife said, I want you to go around back of the church and before you leave, and we have something over there for you. I said, okay. Went over there, and there was this big old bag, box of goodies. I mean, it was turkey. It was all the fixings for turkey. I mean, there was a lot of food there. I mean, a lot of food, as you can see. You know what I mean? You know, I've held it for a long time, but I had a lot of food there. And I said, wow, well, praise the Lord, you know. And I looked at my wife, honey, no, I didn't say anything. I don't care. You know, did you say, no, I didn't say anything, honey. No, I'm asking you, you know. And it was our first fight, by the way. Anyways, but I didn't think we'd have a Christmas. Of course, there was a box filled with food. And we just praised God. Man, you know what, if anything, we're going to have Christmas dinner. Still no tree, still no presents. But boy, you know what, we were going to eat, and we were going to eat very well. Amen. And then, as I recall, the next morning, we had come home from running some errands, and we had two at our door. We had this big old, two huge, I mean, the biggest garbage bag full of wrapped gifts that you've ever seen. I mean, just huge. And I mean, I looked in there. I mean, it was bottomless. I mean, you know, just gifts. I mean, and to this day, it was the most abundant Christmas we ever had. And there was an envelope full of money, I remember, you know, there was some cash in there and so forth, and we were able to go get more groceries and do some different things and even buy a few gifts for our kids. But we don't know, there was no names on it. Came from Santa Claus, amen, you know. But whatever, he just arrived early that year, I guess. But they were there, and so we were able to go buy a tree. I remember this was like the 23rd of December. We got our tree up, decorated and so forth. Let me tell you something, it was the most abundant Christmas we ever had. You know, God knew my heart was torn up because I didn't know what I was gonna do for my kids. Christmas time, you always have presents. But you know what? Even at the last minute, God showed up and he provided. You know, you may wonder, I don't know how I'm gonna do this or do this or do, you know, God will provide. My friend, God will provide. And God will provide for your salvation. And I've got to land this thing. Just as he provided a lamb for the burnt offering for Abraham. And you see the picture of salvation, beautiful picture of salvation played out through this whole text here. Isaac being a type of Christ. And God provided a lamb at the altar and different things. And the blood that was shed at the altar. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. You know what? God provided, hey, listen, my friend, God provided a way for salvation to you. There is no reason, if you're unsaved this morning, there is no reason for you to have to leave here wondering, God, am I going to heaven when I die? Simply because God says, I provided a lamb. It's my son, Jesus Christ. God says, for God so loved the world, I saw you and I loved you so much that I was willing to send my only son, Jesus, to take your sin and to shed every drop of his blood and go through all the agony so that you could have eternal life. And my friend, if you're here today, you know what I'm saying? God can provide for your situation. He provides in all your supplies and your needs. But you know what? He'll provide for your salvation. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I plead with you, my friend, don't leave here without knowing him. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Receive that gift of eternal life. Realize that, yes, you're a sinner, Romans 3:23. Realize there's a price on sin. That price is hell, but Jesus, he paid that price, Romans 5:8. And all you have to do for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do, my friend. You're here today, you feel empty inside because you simply aren't saved. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you, in just a few minutes, you walk down that aisle, you shake my hand, say, preacher, I want to be saved. You showed me from his word that God provided a way for salvation. I want to be saved. I don't want to doubt it anymore. I want to know it. And if you're a lady, I'll have a lady sit down and show you from the word of God how you can sweetly be saved. And if you're a man, I'll have a man do so with you. But he provided a lamb for salvation. Abraham took Isaac, the son whom he loveth, went on a journey, left the young man and the ass and said, I'll be back. Took his son not understanding everything. Probably, most likely, Isaac saw Abraham do this many times. We have the wood, Dad. You've got all the means for the altar, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide. And God will provide whatever needs you have this morning. He'll provide. A little bit of heartache in your home, he'll provide peace. Marital problems, he will provide peace if you allow it. Whatever the case may be, maybe you lost your job, he'll provide. Trust him. It might be he's just waiting for your strength to increase. And you be loyal and you be faithful and you keep on keeping on. And then he looks back and says, that family loves me. They've not quit. That man loves me. That lady loves me. They just keep on keeping on. I see their faith increasing. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and take care of them. I'm going to go ahead and provide for them. I don't know where you're at this morning, but maybe you got to come forward later on and just say, okay, God, I'll put my all on the altar here. I've been trying to do things my own way. I've been trying to get things my own way. I've stepped out of your will, and I'm only here by the grace of God this morning. But God, you know what? I'm a Christian, and I'm going to say, okay, God, here. Here. I'll be faithful to you. And if you're unsaved this morning, boy, I, in just a moment when the musician plays, you ought to come down. You ought to come trotting down that aisle and say, preach, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Because God provided a lamb. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story. I thank you for Abraham. But a man of faith. Probably because of his loyalty and his sincerity and faithfulness. That's probably a lot of his obedience was the reason why you called him the friend of God. Now, God, I'm sure there's some heavy hearts here this morning that need to come to your altar this morning and say, okay, God, help me. I have that void. There's something missing. Help me, God. Maybe there's some unsaved one here today. They're in their heart of hearts crying out, God, save me. I just need to be shown. I need to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that they won't leave here empty. That they won't leave here still wondering, am I going to heaven or not? That they'll understand that you provided, God, a lamb. I pray, Lord, that you'll just teach us and help us to understand that you want to provide because you so love us. Whatever our needs are, you want to provide. Whatever our heartaches are, you want to provide. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. The music's going to go ahead and the musician's going to play I Surrender All. What do you need to surrender to God this morning? What is it? Why don't you this morning decide you step out and say, okay, God, here it is. You want to say this morning, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you decide, I'm getting saved this morning. I'm not going to go ahead and just play around. I'm going to get saved this morning. Music's going to play I Surrender All. How about you this morning? Come on. You need to be saved. Just shake my hand and I'll sit down. I'll have someone sit with you and show you from the Bible how you could be saved. Don't leave here empty. Don't leave here lost. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. We don't know what may happen tomorrow or today. But whatever it is, you decide. God, here I am. All right. I'd like to have Brother Robles come up here, and he's going to close in prayer. So, Brother Robles, would you please come up here? I'm going to make my way to the back here in just a moment. I want to welcome everyone again. Thank you for being here this morning. And leave here knowing God will provide. God will take care of you. Brother Robles, close in prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today's message. We thank you that in Jesus Christ you provided a sacrifice for us for sin, Lord. Thank you for your daily provision, Lord, that we forget to thank you for so often. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we keep thee in mind as we leave this place and one another. Help us to be praying for one another, lifting up one another, Lord. And help us to be here in return this evening as you provided a place for us to meet and be able to gather together and honor you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.